Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Wonderful to be together. Great to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again as we continue our way through there, finding ourselves in chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verse 35 through 39 today. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love and mercy, the richness of your grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would open up this word to us by your Holy Spirit, that we might see and benefit from it and grow in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. I wonder if you've ever had one of those days where you feel like the work never ends. You know what it's like? You wake up first thing in the morning and you've got 3 phone calls that you've missed, a text message, 78 emails, and you look at the day ahead and you think to yourself, I've got 18 meetings and all of this stuff. How am I ever going to get everything done? And you get underway and you slog your guts out all day long. You work, you work, you work, you work. You finally get home late in the evening. And then there are demands on you when you get home, not by your family, but demands on you from the group you're a part of or the church you're a part of. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff to do. And then someone turns up at your house who needs to speak to you about something pressing and you receive a phone call. And eventually, at 11:30 at night, you crumple into bed, utterly exhausted. And your wife looks at you and says, "My dear, why don't you take a lie in the morning? There's much to be done, and you're very tired. Just sleep." And you think to yourself, what a great idea. And so you hit the alarm off button, and you rest nicely into the morning. Well, I'm sure that's how the disciples were feeling after another long day of ministry. We saw yesterday in verse 29 through 34 that back at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house, they were busy with Jesus, and Jesus was opening up and healing people and casting out demons late into the night. And so weary in the morning, I'm sure the disciples lay down their heads to rest and enjoyed a good sleep. But upon waking, of course, what did they find? Jesus was gone. Jesus wasn't there. In fact, they probably woke up to knocks on the door, because our text tells us in verse 37, they say, "Everyone's looking for you." They probably woke up to a crowd outside going, "Where's Jesus?" And the disciples looked around and said, "Well, great question, where is Jesus?" What the disciples didn't know is that early in the morning, Jesus had arose. Mark tells us, rising very early in the morning, not just early, but very early in the morning. Maybe it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus had awoken, very drained, I'm sure, being a man, very drained from the night and the day's labor before him. He awoke early, quietly tiptoeing out of the house by himself and finding somewhere by himself. He departed and went out to a desolate place. He found somewhere quiet. Why? Because he needed to pray. The text tells us he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He, through whom all things were made, through whom all things hold together and have their being, the Word, who sustains all life, he who ensures that your breath continues, went out somewhere by himself to pray. Why? Because as a human being, he needed communion with God. He needed to be sustained by his Father in heaven. He He needed to speak with his father whom he loved. His food, John says, was to do the will of his father. And to do that with all of the demands on him, he needed to retreat and pray. Isn't that a great reminder for you and I, who are equally men and women, who are weighed down with sin unlike Jesus? How much more we need to retreat and pray. How much more we need to follow the example of our blessed Saviour. He has set a pattern for us that we too might go and pray. Now, I don't think we need to take the pattern to mean that we must rise super early to pray, but we should take it as an exhortation for us too to make sure that we are going and praying. We can learn as we see our blessed Saviour upon his knees, praying to his Father in heaven, that we too must do likewise. But of course, the blessed Saviour's prayer time had to come to an end. As Jesus is busy praying in a desolate place, eventually the disciples track him down. Who knows how they found him? Obviously, they knew that he was given to go and pray, so they tracked him down eventually. And they stumble upon him, verse 36, Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And there's almost like a quiet rebuke in that. Maybe it wasn't very quiet, but there's a slight rebuke in that. It's as if Peter's saying, Jesus, don't you understand? There's work to be done. There's things to do. There's people wanting you. There's ministry. There's stuff that's important to do. And you're just sitting out here praying. Everyone is looking for you. Look at the opportunity. They're like strong pragmatics. Oh, Jesus. Look, there's this great crowd wanting you. We can start a massive church. We could start a mega church. Look at them all. But what does Jesus say? What's the priority of Jesus? He says to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. You see, the disciples want to draw Jesus back. They want to draw Jesus back to where they've just been, to be among the crowd, to be among the big and the famous. But Jesus says, no, that's not my Father's will. My work is to go and preach in other places where I'm unknown. Jesus isn't interested about making a name for himself. He's interested in preaching the gospel and setting the captives free. And so he goes forth throughout Galilee, synagogue by synagogue by synagogue, proclaiming the good news that Jesus has come to set people free, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that God is doing something wonderful. And in this, what do we see? Don't we see a blessed pattern of life and ministry? Jesus, our glorious Saviour, who died to set us free from this world and all of its demands, has set us a pattern for how to approach our life, how to approach ministry and church, how to be successful in this world as a Christian. It starts with prayer. We must be sustained by prayer above everything else. Prayer is like the oil that keeps the engine from burning out. People often talk about burnout. The thing that will sustain you in life and ministry is prayer, not by doing less, but prayer. Yes, of course, there's a foolish way of living your life, but the thing that will sustain you, no matter how much you do, is prayer. But then notice also the emphasis that Jesus shows us upon not being obsessed about crowds. It's not about crowds. It's not about our name. It's not about our church. It's about preaching the gospel. It's about doing the ministry that God's called us to do. Jesus was called to fulfill a specific type of ministry, and so were the disciples, and so are you, and so am I. And all of our ministries look a bit different. Some of us are called to show hospitality. Some of us are called to serve on a kitchen tea roster. Some of us are called to be the greeter at church. Some of us are called to be preachers. But all of us are called to fulfill our ministry, sustained by prayer, to the glory and praise of God alone, whether we're noticed or not. So let us, like Jesus, have right priorities. Serve God well, because that's what we've been set aside as his people to do. For his blood has purchased us to be his servants and his children. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious example of Jesus. Thank you for his cross. Thank you for the freedom that he has purchased us. Would you help us to live well? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll see you next week. Have a blessed Lord's Day.